Chapter 12, The Extension Training Center. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, identify the methods Paul used to teach believers in Ephesus, describe the training center at Ephesus, explain the purpose of an extension training center, summarize instructions for starting an extension training center, and start an extension training center. Key verse, Acts 19:9-10. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. Introduction. Before studying this chapter, read Acts 19:1-20. This passage records the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the city of Ephesus. At Ephesus, Paul used a special method of spiritual multiplication. He established an extension training school. In this chapter, you will learn how to multiply through the ministry of an extension training center. The Ephesus Method. When Paul first arrived in Ephesus, he sought out disciples who lived there. These men and women had already accepted the gospel and become followers of Jesus, Acts 19:1. These new believers needed further training in order to minister effectively in their city. Paul's first concern was to teach these disciples more about the kingdom of God. Paul taught them through experience. The first thing he did was lead them into a new spiritual experience, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See Acts 19:2-8. Through the demonstration of God's power in his own life, Paul taught them by example. They witnessed many great miracles done in the name of the Lord, Acts 19:11-12. Those who were not true followers of Jesus were exposed and repented, Acts 19:13-17. New converts were won to the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 19:17-20. When opposition to the gospel arose from traditional leaders, Paul established a training center for disciples at Ephesus, Acts 19:9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he, Paul, departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. The center Paul established offered a 2-year training course for disciples. The purpose of the school was to multiply disciples who were to spread the gospel message, Acts 19:9-10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. This training center knew no cultural lines. Students ministered to both Jews and Gentiles, other non-Jewish nations of the world. The school had no geographic boundaries. The students not only ministered in their own city of Ephesus, they reached the entire continent of Asia. The training center established by Paul fulfilled its purpose, Acts 19:10, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks, Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The school at Ephesus trained believers to be effective ministers of the gospel. These disciples multiplied spiritually to reach all of Asia with the word of God. By establishing such a center, Paul multiplied his own ministry. A continued process. Read Acts 19:23-41 and Acts 20:1. The production and sale of occult objects, books, etc. was big business at Ephesus. When people repented from sin and followed the way of the gospel, they no longer purchased these items used in the worship of false gods. They burned such items which they had previously purchased. The merchants who had made their living from the sale of these items became very angry. A riot resulted, and in the end, Paul had to leave the city. But when Paul departed, he left something very important behind at Ephesus. He left a group of trained disciples to carry on the work of the gospel. He left an established training center which continued to lead new converts onto discipleship. The center Paul established continued the multiplication process when he could no longer remain in the city. The need today. The need for similar training centers still exists today. As converts multiply, it is important that they be trained as disciples. Disciples must be challenged with their responsibility of reaching the world with the gospel. As nations experience political change, many missionaries are forced to leave countries where they have ministered. If the process of spiritual multiplication is to continue in their absence, they must leave behind training centers similar to that in Ephesus. The remainder of this chapter provides instructions for establishing such a center. It may be started by a group of churches, or it may begin with one person who, like Paul, grasps the vision for this method of multiplication. How to establish an extension center. To start an extension center, seek the plan of God. Although Paul trained disciples everywhere he ministered, he did not establish a training center in each location. You have learned many methods of spiritual multiplication in this course. God's purpose of multiplying disciples to spread the gospel remains the same. The methods by which that purpose is achieved vary. The first step in establishing an extension training center is to seek the will of God. Harvest Time International Institute offers a course entitled Knowing God's Voice, which can help you understand how God reveals His will to man. Because God's plan differs for various areas, and because cultures differ, the need and methods for organization of extension centers will vary. Understand the purpose. You must have a clear understanding of the purpose of a training center patterned after the Ephesus model. The purpose of such a school is not to train men and women for careers in business, industry, farming, etc. Colleges and vocational schools serve this purpose. The Ephesus school trained disciples and equipped them for the work of the ministry. The purpose was to spread the gospel geographically throughout all Asia and culturally to both Jews and Gentiles. New converts were then trained as disciples in a continued process of multiplication. Some of these disciples may have been businessmen or farmers, but the Ephesus school did not train them in these professions. It trained believers to be reproductive disciples, whether they worked in the marketplace or as full-time ministers of the gospel. The training center did not replace the church. Believers continued to meet in the synagogue, which was one gathering place of the early church. Believers also continued to meet in churches in their homes. The Ephesus school was an extension of the church. The school did not replace the ministry of the church, but extended it. The purpose of such a training program is not to replace any existing institution actively spreading the gospel. It is good to write down the purpose of the church. This is called a statement of purpose. It will help you remain true to the purpose for the extension training center. Set a budget. A budget is an estimate of how much something will cost, the facility you use for the school, how you publicize it, and the curriculum you select may be affected by the amount of money you have to spend. If you have funds available to start a school, you need to budget these funds. That means you need to write down the specific amounts you plan to spend for various items, such as the cost for facilities, publicity, curriculum, etc. If you do not have funds to start a center, pray for God to supply the financial needs. If a group of churches are cooperating to start the center, perhaps each church can contribute towards the project. Perhaps students in the schools can give offerings. A lack of funds need not prevent you from starting an extension center. Use Harvest Time International Institute curriculum and start the school in a home or a similar facility where you will not be charged a rental fee. Teachers and staff can volunteer to train the students. Select a location. The city of Ephesus, which Paul selected as the location for his school disciples, was a busy trading port. It was also a center for tourism and headquarters for the cult of the false goddess Diana. All of these factors resulted in many people living in and visiting the city of Ephesus. Reaching the large population of Ephesus with the gospel provided a great opportunity for training students. Not only could the gospel be preached to the masses who lived in the city, but there was an opportunity to reach thousands who visited the city as tourists or on business. When these visitors who accepted the gospel went home, they took the message with them. They returned to hundreds of other cities and villages to spread the gospel. Because Ephesus was the center of the cult of the false goddess Diana, it provided opportunities for training in how to deal with demon possession and occult practices. If students could learn to deal with the demonic forces at work in this evil city, they would certainly be able to minister in other locations of lesser satanic influence. Paul did not remove disciples from their native environment to receive training. He trained them in an environment which was natural to them. They remained in their own community and learned in their own language. Paul selected a strategic location for the training school for disciples. Ask God to guide you in the location of your training center. As you consider a location for the center, ask these questions. First, is this location accessible to the people to be trained? People must be able to get to the school to receive training. If you live in a village, the institute should be within walking distance of the people to be trained. In a city, it should be easily reached by public transportation. Look for a central location which can be easily reached by a majority of the people you plan to train. Second, is it a strategic location? Ephesus was a strategic location because it was a seaport city on the natural trade routes. If possible, locate the institute in such a place. Choose a location where people naturally gather, visit, or where the greatest population exists. Do not be afraid to locate the training center in the strongholds of Satan. It will provide great opportunity for students to experience what they are taught. Ephesus was such a location because of the strong influence of the cult of Diana. Third, what facilities should be used? It is not necessary to build a special building for the training center. Paul used an existing facility belonging to a man named Tyrannus. You can start the extension center in an existing church, school building, home, or public meeting hall. If possible, it is best to locate the school in a neutral facility, a building that does not belong to a specific church denomination. This permits people from many churches to participate without excluding some groups because a facility of another denomination is being used. Some pastors fear they will lose their people if they attend another church. Some denominations do not allow their members to enter other churches. Such attitudes are not right, but they do exist. Choosing a neutral facility eliminates many of these problems. You may be able to use a government or city-owned facility. Perhaps you can use a home, public meeting hall, campground, or existing secular school building. Try to obtain a facility appropriate for the number of students you expect to train. Select a facility that will appeal to the social class of people you plan to reach. For example, if you want to train people from a poor barrio of the city, they may not feel comfortable coming to a first-class hotel meeting hall to receive training. Select appropriate curriculum. Curriculum is an organized course of study. Be sure to select curriculum that will achieve the purpose of the Extension Center, which is to train and equip disciples. For example, a course on how to know God's voice is more important in achieving the purpose of the school than a course on the history of your denomination. Curriculum in the Extension Center should focus on what Jesus taught, which took common laymen and changed them into disciples who could reach the world with the gospel. It must be Bible-based curriculum. In selecting curriculum, you must also consider the educational level of the people you want to train. Can they read and write? What languages do they speak or write? If there are several local dialects, is there a common trade language which can be used in the school? Will you need to teach in two languages using a translator? Select teachers and staff. Ask God to guide you in the selection of teachers for the Extension Center. Be sure they agree with the purpose of the school and the curriculum which will be taught. The educational level of teachers should be considered. They should be able to communicate at a level appropriate to the students to be trained, but more important than their education is their spiritual experience and spiritual gifts. Select teachers who can guide students in experiencing what they learn. Choose teachers who set a proper example by the demonstration of God's power in their own life and ministry. Remember that at Ephesus, students learn not only in class sessions, they learn by experience and through the example set by their teacher, Paul. Select believers who have the spiritual gift of teaching. Provide further training to help them develop their gift. You may need some staff members in addition to teachers. You may need someone to clean and prepare the classrooms or to obtain the curriculum. Someone may need to be in charge of publicizing the school. Think about the school in detail. What tasks will need to be done to keep the school operating? Select staff members who have the abilities to do the necessary tasks. Publicize the Extension Center. People cannot attend the school to receive training if they do not know it exists. You must spread the news of the center throughout the village or city where you plan to minister. How you publicize the school varies depending on the location of your school and how much money you have available for publicity. If your training center is in a small village, you can publicize it by going house to house and visiting each church in the village. The news can spread by word of mouth. You can talk individually to pastors about the program. You can speak personally to believers who have the desire to be trained. The whole village can be reached easily with no financial cost. In a city, news does not spread so easily because of the greater population. You may want to use some of the following methods to publicize the school. Church visitation. Obtain a list of all the churches in the city. You can obtain such a list through a telephone directory or a government agency that registers churches. Contact the pastor of each church and share the vision of the Extension Center. Ask him to let you share with members of his church during a regular service. Church bulletin. If churches in your city distribute weekly news bulletins to members, prepare a small flyer to be inserted in the bulletin. News releases. Prepare a news release about the school for local newspapers. Inquire regarding the cost to place a paid advertisement as well. Posters. Design a poster to advertise the school. Place posters in the lobby area of the church where they can be seen as people enter and exit. If the church has glass doors or windows facing a busy street, place a poster so it can be seen from the sidewalk by people who pass by the church. Obtain permission from local Christian bookstores, Christian businesses, colleges, schools, etc., to put up posters on their bulletin boards or windows. Put posters in shopping centers, banks, anywhere that crowds gather. Be sure to obtain the permission of the owners before putting up the poster. Be sure there are no government laws prohibiting such posters. Christian events. If there are any rallies, concerts, or conferences planned in your area which will draw believers, request the leadership to announce the training center during the event. Church membership. Request church members to distribute posters and handbills. Handbills can be the same design used for church bulletin inserts. Ministerial fellowship. If there is a ministerial council or fellowship in the city, contact the leaders and request time to share at one of their meetings regarding the training center. Have a supply of posters, handbills, and bulletin inserts to give to each minister. Denominational lists. Send a letter to each pastor and church in your own denomination. Ask other pastors for mailing lists available through their denominations. Local Christian organizations. Contact the leadership of local Christian organizations in your area. For example, Youth for Christ, Campus Crusade, Young Life, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, Women's Aglow, Teen Challenge, and similar organizations. Meet with the leaders and request permission to share news of the Extension Center at one of the regular meetings of their organization. Conduct the first session. The first class session of the training center is very important. It should be open to all pastors and believers of the community. The session should include introduction of teachers and staff, explanation of the purpose of the training center, introduction to the curriculum which will be used in the school, a time of prayer, praise, and singing, a motivational teaching session, an example of what the school will offer, a closing prayer of dedication of the facility and teachers, registration of those who want to participate in the training program. Registration should be done at the conclusion of the first session before dismissal. Students will have met the teachers, received an introduction to the curriculum, and experienced a sample of the teaching. This should motivate them to enroll for the complete training course. Regular class sessions. Here are some guidelines for conducting regular class sessions. Be prepared. Each teacher should be thoroughly acquainted with the subject matter he is to teach. He should have proper supplies and materials ready for each class session. He should have specific objectives for each lesson. Be sure the classrooms are ready for the students. Have textbooks ready for each student. You might set up audio and video listening viewing centers if you have the proper equipment for this. Students can listen to audio and videotaped instruction. Be punctual. Start and conclude class sessions on time, unless the Holy Spirit leads otherwise. Pray. Open and close class sessions in prayer. Review and summarize. Start each class session with a brief overview of what was taught in the last class session. Close each class with a summary of the lesson taught in that session. Use various teaching methods. For training in these methods, study the Harvest Time International Institute course on teaching tactics. Be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. This is more important than completing the lesson or following a planned format. Guide students to experience what is taught. For example, if you are teaching on healing, pray for those present who are sick. If teaching on baptism of the Holy Spirit, lead those who do not have it into the experience. Plan out class learning experiences. Give study assignment for students to complete between class sessions. Provide opportunities for them to put into practice what they are learning by practical ministry in their church and community. Remember, the purpose of the school is to equip disciples to cross cultural and geographical lines to spread the gospel message.